beloved, in Jesus' name, amen. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm very much excited about this year, and I think some of you already know what our theme is. And one thing I've also noticed this morning, early hours of the morning, the Lord was just reminding me that He's actually forever speaking with us. The only question is, are you forever listening? Tell your neighbor, the Lord is forever speaking. Are you forever listening? Imagine somebody speaking to you and you keep on ignoring them. So we need to set time to listen to Him. That's why sometimes you find even in your own personal life, you cannot live in the supernatural because you are not attuned to that frequency. You only know how to interact with fellow human beings. You don't know how to interact with God. The second thing, I want you to go to the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 29. Mr. MJ will do it in the Good News Translation. Revelation 2, 29, GNT. In this year of supernatural growth, we will have to really spend a lot of time listening to Him and spending time in His presence, because He can then reveal to us what He wants to show us. There are so many things that are happening around us that are still to happen, and the Lord wants to share with us the secrets. But are you there to listen? Are you there to receive from Him? So Mr. MJ, just read for us Revelation 2:29, Good News Translation.
If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches.
Okay, tell your neighbor, if you have ears, listen to what the Spirit says to the church. So I want you to look at this. If you have ears, it's got two meanings, isn't it? Yeah. So firstly, if you have ears, these physical ears, usually we are easily able to hear audible voices. But if you want to listen to the Spirit, you need to have another kind of ears. You remember last week we talked about another kind of eyes? Yeah, those of you who were here, you remember when the man of God said to God about his servant, he said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And when that young man's eyes were opened, he could see the things that he couldn't see before. He could see the angels protecting them. So even in our own lives, there are a lot of things that are happening around us, what the Lord is doing, but sometimes your eyes are not opened and you cannot see. So similarly, he says, if you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I really want us to stay so much attuned to listen to the voice of God, even in this year, even in your own personal life, even in your prayer time. Sometimes you say, Pastor, how do I know if it's the voice of God or if it's my mind? Last week I gave you a very simple test. You remember when Jacob had a dream? We shared with you that in Genesis. And whatever was said in the dream, you could think like, but this is scriptural. So there is no doubt that that dream is from God. But imagine you have a nightmare and you are running away and you're just seeing things. Could that be a dream from God? No, that's not how God speaks. So it means in our relationship with God, we always need to say, how does that align with what God has said? So when he says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want us to look at two facets. One, these physical ears, you need to have them, even as I share the word with you now. Amen? You need to have them. But again, you will find that the way we hear is different. Other people are able to understand. Others hear and it goes out without understanding. Amen? But as we are going to walk in the supernatural, as we are going to experience this supernatural growth, we won't be able to enjoy that if we are spending a lot of time in the natural. Because we're talking about supernatural growth. So you've got to be in the right frequency for you to be able to connect. Okay? So I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2, TPT, Mr. MJ. So we are continuing with our theme for the year 2024, the year of supernatural growth. Revelation 4, 1 and 2, TPT. Because when he started, he says, "He who hath ears, let him listen to what the Spirit says to the churches," or to what the Spirit says to the church. So if you look, even in the days we're living in, sometimes we don't listen to what the Spirit says to the church. Sometimes that's why we bring a lot of things in the church and we think that is the Spirit of God. And we do things our own way. Sometimes you find churches are like businesses now. Why? Because we're not listening to what the Spirit says to the church. The owner of the church always has a word for his church. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, you will hear the Bible saying, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia, say this. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, say this. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, say this." I believe he should also say to the angel of Jesus the Savior church, say this. Amen? Yes. God is no respecter of persons. So as much as he had a word for those churches, I know he has got a word for Jesus the Savior church. Tell your neighbor, God has a word for our church. And God has a word for you individually. Now you need to listen. Amen. You see, the word of God is so precious. Actually, there is this scripture in Samuel. Yeah, it says, the word of God was so rare, instead of saying it was so precious, so rare and so precious in those days that there were not many open visions. So the word of God is so precious that you need to treasure it as such. You need not allow anything to steal that precious word from you. So Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 2, the Passion Translation. Actually, I'm hearing these words reverberating in my spirit even this year. Read it for us, Mr. MJ.
"Then suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a portal open into the heavenly realm."
Okay, he says, "I saw a portal open into the heavenly realm." That's a different realm from where I am. But I can see things in that realm. Continue.
"And the same trumpet voice I had speaking with me at the beginning said, ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this."
I want us to take those words that were spoken to John the Apostle and make them our own. So Mr. MJ, start at ascend and take it that that word is speaking to you now.
Ascend into this realm.
So he says, for you to be able to get what I want to share with you, what I want to say to the church, what I want to say to you individually, ascend into this realm. In other words, it won't be easy for you to grasp it when you are still walking in the natural. Ascend into this realm.
I want to reveal to you what must happen after this.
You see, God's desire is to reveal to us what must still come to pass. You remember last week we told you about many people wanting to hear about the future. They go even into horoscopes and all the things, and somebody has got your star and you were born in this month. It's because people have a desire to know the future. Now God already has a solution. He says, ascend into the spiritual realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. Verse 2.
"Instantly I was taken into the spirit realm. And behold, I saw a heavenly throne being set in place and someone seated upon it."
So he was taken into the spirit realm. You see, sometimes when you read the Bible, when you read the word of God, you wonder how those people that we read about in the word, we always hear them saying, "Then the word of the Lord came to me saying." You read those things. Then the Lord said unto me. And you keep on saying, but he doesn't say anything to me. Are you ascending into that realm? Because for John to pick this, he was told, ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw. Now, which eyes was he now seeing with? The spiritual eyes. He says, ascend into this realm. And when I was taken into the spirit realm, behold, I saw. You know why I like seeing in the spiritual is that both in the positive part and the negative part. In the positive part, it's good to have dreams like those ones of Jacob, seeing angels going up and down. It's better than nightmares. Amen? But also, when you can see in the spiritual, you are also able to discern. Amen? You know that sometimes people may be having other agendas and other ideas, and they say something, but what they are saying is not what is in their heart. So when you are able to ask to discern in the spiritual realm, sometimes you are able to pick things. Amen. So now, I want to teach you how to then ascend into that, how to stay tuned into that frequency, so that then you can hear the word of God for yourself and also hear the word of God for others. You know, in the days we're living in, yeah, but it's no longer in fashion. It was in fashion about 3 years ago. Prophesy! Prophesy! Now, I don't hear it often. But, people are asking for others to hear God for them. And then, you want to get it secondhand. But when he says, ascend, tell your neighbor, do this to your neighbor. That's better than secondhand information. Amen? So when he says, ascend into this realm, and then when I was taken up into the spirit, then I could see. Because God has got other things that are also specific to me. As much as God can reveal to the man of God what he wants me to know, but more often than not, those things will just be a confirmation of what God has already said to me. Amen? Because it's about my life. The problem with some of you is that you also get deceived because then you so much go into somebody prophesying, but you don't check how does that align to the word. Because it's very easy for me to say, my brother, the Lord says this about you. Whether it's the Lord or it's me, you don't know. Now you need to be able to discern and see how that aligns with scriptures. Amen? Then you will not be deceived. So I gave you that example. I like that dream of Jacob. Because when you read that dream, it's as if you are reading the Bible. Then I could see the angels doing this, and the Lord said, I've been with you, and I will be with you. I will always be with you. That sounds like God. Amen. Now, let's go to Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, Amplified Classic, AMPC. Habakkuk 2, 1 to 4. Now, if the call was ascend into this realm, make time to spend with me. I want to speak with you. I want to reveal to you things to come. Sometimes you need to separate yourself from the madding crowd. Sometimes you need to separate yourself from other people. That's where even the issue of fasting comes in. Fasting is not only that you're keeping yourself hungry, but you're not spending time with him. Because then that's equivalent to hunger strike, isn't it? So you need to say, if I'm now fasting food, if I'm fasting those things, I'm fasting all these things so that I can then have time with him. I want to put my body under and have my spirit connect well with God and have my spirit more sensitive with God. Amen? Fasting doesn't change God. You know God doesn't change. Some of you think, I'll pray for 14 nights until God answers. Fasting doesn't change God. God is the same yesterday, today and forever. He's the same before you pray, when you pray, and after you pray. Fasting changes you. Fasting makes you more sensitive and more attuned to that frequency. Amen. It helps you to be more connected. Amen. Now you are able to hear him speak. Now you are able to pick the voice of the Lord, because you have decided to separate yourself from most of those things of the world. Now in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, he says, okay, Mr. MJ, you can read.
Oh, I know. I've been rushed to talk out openly this way to God.
Okay, he says, oh, I know. I've been rushed to talk out plainly this way to God. So it's like sometimes you find you just speak quickly. And later you say, ish, I shouldn't have spoken that. But now he says, I will, in my thinking, stand upon my post of observation and station myself. Tell your neighbor, you need to station yourself. In other words, you need to be in the right frequency. You need to be aligned. He says, I will in my thinking stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower of fortress, and I will watch to see. Mr. MJ, you can complete that. I will watch to see what?
What he will say within me.
Okay. What he will say where?
Within.
What he will say where?
Within.
Tell your neighbor, that's a great revelation. He says, as I station myself, as I position myself, I want to see what he will say within me. As much as I can hear the outside audible voice, but the Holy Spirit is in me and he is constantly speaking. It's just that I'm not well aligned. I'm missing it. The other time I gave you the example of a television set that even now as we are here, the SABC is broadcasting. But why are you not seeing any picture? Yeah, you don't have a TV here with you. And even if you have it and you haven't turned it on, do you see pictures? And if you turn it on and it's in the wrong frequency, do you see pictures? So, you can have the TV set. But if you don't turn it on, you will receive nothing. So, similarly, even with us, we need to position ourselves. It's almost like tuning into the right frequency. I station myself so that I can hear from him. I don't want things to distract me. Even when I go to prayer, I go like somebody going to hear from God. I go like somebody going to speak with God. I like that Numbers 7, 8, 9. 7, verse 89. It says, when Moses would go into the temple or into the tent of meeting to speak with God, then you would hear the voice of the Lord saying. So it means when I go to prayer, I'm not going there as a ritual. I'm going there to speak to him. And when you go to speak to him, you will hear the word of the Lord saying. Amen. So he says, I want to position myself and hear what he will say to me within me. And what answer I will make to the perplexities of my complaint. And the Lord, you see what happened? He says, I position myself. Every time when you position yourself, the Lord will. Because he is forever speaking, you're just not in the right frequency. He says, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engraved it so plainly upon the tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it will hasten to the end to its fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it, because it will surely come, it will not be behind-handed on its appointed day. So it means whatever the Lord reveals to you, it will surely come to pass. It will surely be confirmed. It will surely be fulfilled on its appointed day. So it means after I have heard God and I know what the Lord has said to me, either in my spirit or because I saw a word, I need to believe that word. Some of you think because God said it will just automatically happen. No, you've got your part to play. You've got your faith to exercise to receive that promise. It's like God says he is our healer. That scripture is sealed. But it's up to you to receive that healing. Amen? It's like God says he sent Jesus to save all of us, but is everybody saved? No. Even if the provision is there, you need to receive it and make it your own. Amen? So even this prophetic word for 2024 that we're talking about, the year of supernatural growth, I will show you through scriptures that you need to position yourself for that, but you also need to exercise your faith to receive it. That's why now verse 4 of the same Habakkuk, he says, look at the proud, his soul is not straight or right within him, but they're just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by faith. The righteous person doesn't live by prophecy. You live by faith. So even after I have received a word, even after I have received a prophetic word, even if I have seen a word from the word of God, I still need to live by faith. You get that? Yeah. So, I told you, those of you who were here last week, but let me repeat it to all of us. Because I think some of you were here in December after we came from Limpopo. We had time of prayer. And at the end of that prayer, I said, the Lord has revealed to me, has shown me what will come to pass in the year that we're coming to. He made it very vividly clear. It was like, I'm seeing it. But I know it was in my spirit. Amen? And at that time, one of the things I saw was our church overflowing with people in 2024. Amen? Overflowing with people. Almost like, because I was standing here when I was praying. It was as if I'm seeing that. But that was in the spirit. Amen? And then, he then shared with me this thing about supernatural growth. So when it's something is supernatural, it takes God himself to do it. Amen? In other words, people will say, so the things I'm telling you now, you will see it. And then you'll say, but the pastor said it. It's not that the pastor said it. It's because the Lord said it. We were just in the right frequency to pick it. Amen? He is forever speaking. So, this is the year for you to step into new revelation and manifestation of the supernatural increase. You will experience supernatural increase beyond anything you have experienced before. I'm believing that 2024 will be like no other year for you and for your family and for our church. I want to encourage you to catch a vision of supernatural increase that far exceeds your previous experiences. Because sometimes we are always trapped because of our past. Supernatural growth means that God is going to do something that is impossible for us to achieve on our own in the natural. God doesn't want us depending on our own strength, on our own ability, on our own skills, or even level of education. He wants us to experience supernatural increase in every area of our lives. And when it's him doing it, he gets all the glory. But you have a part to play in receiving this. So you need to be obedient and faithful in serving God, so that then you can experience this supernatural growth. So I want to encourage you to link your faith with mine and believe this prophetic word, even more so for us at Jesus the Savior Church. May you be highly expectant regarding many things that God is still going to do for us in 2024. One of the things, for example, we know we're going to build, isn't it, the house of the Lord this year. That's another, that's, do we say, a cherry on top? Yeah, that's just a cherry on top. But the real thing is these spiritual things that God is going to do with us. But then he will also show us something that we can see with our eyes when we are building. But in your own life and wherever you are, you need to experience that glory of God like never before. So supernatural growth, even in our church, supernatural growth in numbers. But supernatural growth even for you spiritually. And you say, this year I've grown like no other year. Actually, the Lord is revealing himself to me in a spectacular way. I never knew God this way. Even supernatural growth for those of you who are givers, who plant into the kingdom. May this be also a supernatural year of increase for you. That the seed that I've sown, I see it growing not in the natural way. I see the hand of God is in this. That's what we call supernatural increase. So which also means as the Lord is going to do all these things, we also need to be prepared to be able to handle that. We are prepared. We are preparing ourselves how to handle the increase in terms of your numbers and all that. The Lord will give us wisdom in that. But in your own life, as you are also expecting supernatural increase, supernatural growth, you need to be prepared for it. And actually, prepare your tent. Maybe let's go to Isaiah 54. Because I was very much encouraged when the Lord has given me this word. When I went through scriptures, then I could see the scriptures just confirming this word. That's why I've got confidence to say the Lord told me this. Because it aligns with what he has said in his word. So now look at Isaiah 54, 1 to 4. The Message translation. Mr. MJ. Isaiah 54, 1 to 4. The Message translation. Now, I want you to take this word as if the Lord is speaking it today to you. We know this word was written many, many years ago. It came as a prophetic word through the prophet Isaiah. But then this word is written for our sake also. So it means when we are talking about supernatural growth or supernatural increase, it's not as if the Lord only wants to start doing it this year. We are just positioning ourselves more this year and therefore receive it. But when we go through scriptures, you will find that these things actually have always been there. But now it's just that we are tuning ourselves, we are positioning ourselves to receive it. That's why we'll experience it this year. You get that? So Isaiah 54, 1 to 4, Mr. MJ, Message.
Sing, barren woman, who has never had a baby. Fill the air with song, you who have never experienced childbirth. You are ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women. God says so.
Who said so? Okay. I like it when, because I usually know the word of God. I know the Bible is the word of God, isn't it? But many places you will find the Lord saying, I say so. On top of it being the word, he also now says, because usually when a word comes and it sounds too good, the Lord picks the doubt that you have and say, is it really? And then he says, God said so. God says so. So it means I need to say, let God be true and every man a liar, even my previous experiences. If God said so, I'm embracing it. He's got the ability to fulfill what he said. So what am I supposed to do? Verse 2.
clear lots of ground for your tents.
Okay, so if this is the year of supernatural growth, supernatural increase, I've got to prepare even my ground. I've got to prepare my capacity. Continue.
Make your tents large.
Oh, so I tell your neighbor, I will not have a mediocre mentality anymore. You know, when you're just thinking, barely making it, if I could just have enough. No, make your tent large.
Mm-hmm. Spread out.
Yes.
Think big.
That's what I want. How are you supposed to think? Tell your neighbor, think big. Yeah. You know, the reason why we usually think small is because we were disappointed in the past. You're not thinking small because God, imagine you say, He has done small things. He has, even to bless His name is not easy. But if you go, He has done great things. Bless His holy, holy name. Our God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. What has he done? He has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy, holy name. Do I have some witnesses here? Amen. Actually, after you've said He has done great things, it's easy to say bless His holy name. So why don't you expect big things? So that you can know it's God. So that we can glorify His name. So that we can know it's only God who could do it. It was beyond the abilities of man. He has done. Thank you, Jesus. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy, holy name. Some of you could have been dead by now. But He has done. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless His holy, holy name. Amen. 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 And He keeps on doing great things. Hallelujah. He keeps on doing great things. Amen. So He has done great things, but He keeps on Amen. That's why I'm believing big. That's why I'm spreading out my faith. And read that one again, Mr. MJ, and continue. Spread out, think big.
Clear lots of your ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out, think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You are going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family.
You're going to need a lot of ground, guys. You're going to need a lot. Just prepare big of it.
You are going to take over the whole nations. You are going to resettle abandoned cities.
Now, verse 4. Verse 4 comes in because the Lord, when you are starting to doubt some things, you see, when the Lord promises something and he realizes quickly, my people here will falter. Then he brings a word of encouragement. So verse 4.
Don't be afraid. You are not going to be embarrassed.
Amen. Can we repeat that? Repeat that for us.
Don't be afraid. You are not going to be embarrassed.
Why that word? Don't you think the Lord was reading your mind saying, I was once disappointed. This faith thing. Now he says, don't be afraid. Because that thing that says, I was once disappointed, what I heard about, it's the enemy trying to bring fear to you. So he says, don't be afraid. You are not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You are not going to come up short. You will forget about the humiliations of your youth, and the indignities of being a widow will fade away from memory. So all the disappointments that I suffered, I'll forget about them. As the Lord is coming through for me in this year of supernatural growth. And the good thing is that whatever I might have experienced, when the Lord now restores me and gives me more than ever, I forget about that past. You remember what Job went through when he lost all the things and all that. But when you go to the last chapter, you hear the Lord restoring him and even giving him double all that he had. Now, our tears are wiped away. Amen? So it means even if I suffered some indignities in the past, when the Lord comes through for me, I will even forget about those, because now I will be embracing the promise of God in my hand. Amen? But then, I still need to know more of what God wants to do for me. That's why I need to keep in that right frequency. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 16, NIV, Mr. MJ. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16, NIV. Because it seems like what God has in store for us, it's so massive, it's so great, but we don't always grasp it. Sometimes we don't even see it because we do not have spiritual eyes to see. Sometimes we don't hear it because we don't have spiritual ears to hear. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16, NIV.
However, as it is written, what no eye has seen.
Okay, so this obviously was the natural eye. What no natural eye has seen.
What no ear has heard.
What no natural ear has heard. So it means if you are only staying in this frequency, you're going to miss out. Tell your neighbor, if you just stay in your natural frequency, you are going to miss out. Because he says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard.
And what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him.
Oh, so the thing God has prepared, tell your neighbor, God has prepared something for me. Man. God has prepared something. He loves me so much, he's got something in store for me. But you won't be able to pick it with these eyes sometimes. Sometimes not even with these ears. By the moment your eye sees it in the natural, it has already long been there in the spiritual. So that's why it's important to walk in the spiritual, so that I can experience and see things and know things before they happen. When they happen now, you say, I knew about this. I already knew about this. So he says, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, or what no human mind has conceived. In other words, it's too big for human mind. But those are the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things, verse 10.
These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit.
You see? He has revealed them to us. How? By his Spirit. So it means if I'm not tuned in to the Spirit, I might not see it. And I would still be missing all the things that God has in store for us, what God has freely given us. Verse 12, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. So we can only understand the things that God has given us if our spiritual eyes are opened. If we can now see in the spiritual, now we start seeing things differently. We even start having a different way of thinking. It says, what no mind has conceived. Okay. So he mentioned three things there. Is no eye has seen. So I said the eye that hasn't seen. Is which eye is that? The natural eye. But I can see it with the spiritual eye. What no ear has heard, which ear? The natural ear. But I can hear it with the spiritual ear. No human mind has conceived. But it means we need to have another mind. What mind do we have? Verse 16, Mr. MJ.
For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay. You saw the spiritual eyes. We talked more that last week. We talked now when we started about the spiritual ears. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. But we're also hearing that even if the human mind cannot fathom it, we have the mind of Christ. That's profound. Imagine having the mind of Christ, thinking like Christ. Do you think Christ was ever intimidated? Do you think Christ ever had depression and stress? Hey, the problems are so much, man. Here is the Pharisees this side, and that side is this, and now they say, I'm going to be killed. Hey, I'm just so much stressed. Because he already knew what would happen thereafter, he was always relaxed. So when you already have seen the future, you can relax even if things seem not to be working out now. Because you have read the end of the book. Amen? The other time I gave you an example, those of you who like sports, okay? I know some of you like sports, especially soccer. Okay? I'll give you a soccer example. So take it that you have recorded a match. Okay? You saw a match and you recorded it and you know the results. One team scored first. And then your team scored after they scored three goals and they won 3-1. Now you're going to watch that match. When that team of the opponent scores, you say, today we are in trouble. Do you do that? Why? You know the end. So the reason why you find some of us relaxed is because we know the end, man. We have read the end of the book. Amen. So in other words, even if the enemy has scored first, even if the opponent has scored first, we know the final score. Amen. That's the confidence that you have. So when we have the mind of Christ, that's why Christ was never taken aback. That's why he was always relaxed, because he knew what would come thereafter. So even when he was facing the cross, the Bible says, Looking unto Jesus, that's Hebrews 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of his majesty on high. So when he was on the cross, he was seeing beyond the cross. Tell your neighbor, when you are in your cross, see beyond the cross. Because some of you, when you are going through tough times, that's your cross. Carry your cross and follow me. So when you are going through that difficult time, if you don't see beyond the cross, you are going to be discouraged. You may even quit. But Jesus knew, so that's why that Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto Jesus, in other words, we must imitate him, who for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? The joy was that he's going to save us. His death would mean that you and I now can be saved. So he could see all of us. He could see all human beings getting salvation through his blood. And he says, I can endure this shame. I can endure this pain because I've seen beyond the cross. Amen. And that's exactly what should happen to you. So this is what the Lord is saying in, again, just to confirm our theme for the year. Go with me to the book of Job. Chapter 8, verse 7. Job 8, 7, Amplified Classic. I'll read that one. And Mr. MJ, you can do for us Job 5, 8 to 9 in the message. I will do Job 8, 7, Amplified Classic. Mr. MJ, you will do Job 5, 8 to 9 in the message translation. So, Job 8, 7 says, and though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would greatly increase. That's what happened when we come to God. He lifted me up from the deep miry clay, and he planted my feet on the King's highway. And that is the reason I sing and I shout, for Jesus came down and he lifted me up. He set me on the King's highway. Wangitatala. Ulu. Uvelena. I like it because he finds me where? Wangitatala. That's the God I serve. He takes me from the deep miry clay, in the pit, and he plants me on the King's highway. I can walk with my chest high. Amen. Because he has lifted me up. Amen. So he says, your latter end would greatly increase. So listen to what Eliphaz, the friend of Job, said to Job. And I want to encourage you with the same words. Read for us Job 5, 8 to 9 message, Mr. MJ.
If I were in your shoes.
So Eliphaz saw the troubles that Job was in. And now he's advising. This is the friend advising. This is a friendly advice. I like this one. If I were in your shoes.
I'll go straight to God. I'll throw myself on the mercy of God. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to his surprises.
Hey, I don't know if you're seeing what I'm seeing, guys. He says, if I were you, I would go straight to God and throw myself on his mercy. After all, he's famous for great and unexpected acts. And there is no end to his surprises, even in this year of supernatural growth. So that's why I'll spend a lot of time throwing myself into his mercy seat. After all, he is famous for great and unexpected acts. And there is no end to his surprises. He's famous. Tell your neighbor, my God is famous for great and unexpected acts. There is no end to his surprises. Even when I'm sitting here, he's working things behind the scene. Tell them, even when I'm sitting here, he's working things. He's going to surprise me again. Because favor is looking for me. Tell your neighbor, favor is looking for me. Amen. Amen. Yes, there is no end to his surprises. More things are still coming. And I'm ready to receive them. And my prayer for you is Psalms 115, verse 14 and 15, the New King James Version. So I've told you these things. Now we're beginning our descent because I want to share with you what now is my prayer for you as the church and also for you as individuals. 3 John 2 talks about, John talks to his beloved. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So obviously every parent or every person who's got people that are listening to them, they want things to go well with their people. So, Psalms 115, verse 14 and 15, New King James Version. Now, I'm saying this to you. May the Lord give you increase more and more. So, when I say it for you, you must say amen. May the Lord give you increase more and more. You and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who has made heaven and earth. That's my heart's prayer for you. Amen. Amen. That's why when I see these things that the Lord is sharing with us and I see them confirmed with scriptures, I get more excited. Because now you are not just believing the prophetic word, but you are also believing what you've seen in the word. You take that and make it your own. As the Lord increases you more and more, you and your children, as he blesses you, he is famous for great things. He is famous for surprises. He's famous for working behind the scenes and making things work out well for me. Actually, I don't think I have comprehended all the things that God has in store for us even this year. He has only just allowed us to tap into that which we can contain. But there are many more things. Ephesians 1. 17 to 23. I'll do this one in the Amplified. This was Paul's prayer. And I pray the same prayer for you because after we have said all these things, the thing that is left now for us is to receive those, is to position ourselves. But we need to pray for you more and more that your eyes may be opened, that you can start seeing what God is seeing. You start having the mind of Christ. You start having your ears opened. Ephesians 1, 17 Amplified. I always pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Okay? I pray that God may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. For we know the Father through the Son. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, other versions would say, the eyes of your understanding. This is the other eyes that I told you about. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, so that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation. You know why we are now expecting confidently? It's because our eyes are opened to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. So there's something that he has as my inheritance, as your inheritance. I pray that your eyes may be open to that, that you can see that. And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness. Mr. MJ, I know you like these verbs. So we start with immeasurable. That's big, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, that's big. Unlimited. You see, that's what God is saying. So when you are not thinking big, when you've got a mediocre mentality, you didn't get that from God. You're getting it from fear, from your experiences. But he says, this immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power. Where? Where is his power? Read it, Mr. MJ. Maybe they don't have the Amplified.
And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe.
Where is that power?
In.
Where is that power?
In.
How great is the power? Immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power. That power is in me. I've got a dynamite. Tell your neighbor, I've got a dynamite. That's why Acts 1 verse 8, it says you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that word translated power in English, they say the original Greek word for that word power is the word dunamis, which is the same word where we get the word dynamite. Imagine we tell you, you've got a dynamite in you. Now, things change. Now you look at problems as something that should be destroyed. You know, people with a dynamite, they look for problems. They want to practice the power of a dynamite on something. So you've got a dynamite. This exceeding greatness of God's power in us who believes. How big is this power? We say it's immeasurable. It's unlimited. It's great. But God also defines it, Mr. MJ. Continue.
As demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength.
So he tells us, how was this power demonstrated? He demonstrated when he did what? That's the power he did, which he used when he raised
Christ
from the dead. That's the kind of power that is in you. So tell your neighbor, you've got the resurrection power in you. That's a dynamite. That's big. Now, if I've got this, the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead, and you say that power is in me now, no sickness can stand against it. No force of darkness can withstand this power. That's why even when the devil didn't want Jesus to rise from the dead, even the people in the natural, they even put people there to guard the tomb. The Bible says, I think it was just one. Was it two angels or one? Came, pulled up that big stone, that big rock, that it was difficult for humans to pull it. He came, pulled it to the side, and sat on it. Amen? And those soldiers who were guarding, they were now trembling, afraid. I think if it was not one, it was only two. It was not more than two angels. Just one or two. And that was enough to cause all those soldiers a lot of panic. And that great power that rose Christ from the dead, that even after having been dead for 3 days, he rose up in power, in strength. And by the way, after he died, unlike your death and my death, where if we die, There's usually no contestation. So for Jesus, obviously, the gates of hell, the demons and all those forces of darkness, they wanted to keep him in the grave. David prophesied that and he said, you would not allow your servant to decay in the grave. He used his mighty power when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is the place where you should frequently, you should frequently look at that space. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and the world, but also in the one to come. And what did he do? And he has put how many things? How many things?
All.
I like it. You see, with God, it's all. It's immeasurable. It's great. It's this. It's that. So he has put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet and appointed him as the supreme authoritative head over all things in the church. So this scripture says God has placed everything under the feet of Jesus. Now, if Jesus is the head of the church, where are all these things? They are under us. That's why Isaiah says the government shall be upon his shoulder, which is his body. And now, if he has put all things under his feet, under the feet of Jesus, it means they are put under my feet. And he says Satan is under my feet. I've got authority over all the forces of darkness, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper. Every tongue that raises up against me in judgment will be condemned. This is my heritage. This is my vindication from him. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. I told you we've begun our descent. Now we're landing. Let's land with this one. Then we are going to give Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, Amplified Classic. Now, after I've said everything I've told you, after Paul also shared with us whatever I've shared with you, he says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan, I told you about he has done great things. He keeps on doing great things. All these great things that he's going to do. He says, for this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with what? With mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. So may you be strengthened in your inner man. May you be strengthened in your inner being. May Christ, through your faith, dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded secure on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? So in other words, he says, I pray that as you understand this great mighty power that is in you, may you also be rooted and grounded in his love, So when we are grounded in his love, firstly, we know, understand his love, but we also walk in that love toward others. Then we are able to say, the love of Jesus is so wonderful. He's so wonderful. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It is so high. You can't get over it. It is so low. You can't get under it. It is so wide. You can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. Verse 19. That you may really come to know, practically through the experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. You may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Are you seeing these things? Are you seeing how immeasurable, how much of God he wants to reveal to us? Now, verse 20. Yeah, I think this is a good way to... Paul is helping us to land it even more nicer. This is a good way to land it. Now, to him who by his power is able to work within us, is able to do super abundantly. Let's all say super abundantly. Again, it's those big words. Far over and above. Say far over and above. All that we dare ask or think. In other words, God is able to do super abundantly, over and above whatever you are thinking, whatever you were trusting God for, whatever vision that you have, God is able to surpass it. So he says he's able to do super abundantly, far and above all that we dare ask or think, beyond our highest prayers, our desires, our thoughts, our hopes, or dreams. Are you getting that? He's able to do beyond your wildest imaginations. He's able to do beyond your biggest dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The pastor also says amen at that point. Amen. Can we stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard?